Wonderful it is to be ushered into worship with Amazing Grace. It is a beautiful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a gift it is to be with all of you in this time of worship, and it's my joy to welcome you, whether you're joining us here in the sanctuary or over live stream. We're grateful for one another and the presence of Christ that keeps us connected. I would love for each of us to take a moment to register our attendance here in worship. If you're here in the sanctuary, there's a registration pad close to the center aisle, and if you would sign in and pass that down the row, and if you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in the browser that will take you to that spot. And if you pay attention to the names of the others sitting on the row with you, and if there's a name you don't recognize, that's an opportunity to make a new friend this morning. We're so glad to welcome those of you who are visiting with us, and we hope that you feel the love and welcome of Christ in this place. As we gather this morning, just a few announcements. Today is the last day to cast your vote for the artwork that we are hoping to commission for our congregation. Our Art Inclusion Task Force has put together three proposals, and we invite you to stop by the table, learn more about that process and why we're doing that, and cast your vote. And we will look forward to hearing the results in the coming days. Tomorrow, the church offices will be closed in honor of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, but several of us, weather permitting, are planning to gather and participate in the celebration in Nashville. We'll gather at 9 a.m. in front of Jefferson Street Baptist Church for the march up toward the Gentry Center at Tennessee State University, where at 10 o'clock they'll have the convocation, which is a wonderful event with music and incredible speakers, and it's very inspiring. So hopefully some of us will be able to be there without taking any undue risks if the weather's bad. Next Sunday, a couple of exciting things are happening. During the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock, we are inviting any adults who are interested in perhaps participating in a small group for spiritual formation, just wanting to know a little bit more about the opportunities, to come down to McWhirter Hall and join in that conversation. Again, that is 10 a.m. next Sunday. And then at 5 p.m. next Sunday afternoon, Fletcher Foster and others are hosting a gathering for members of our church who are part of our LGBTQ community to begin forming a support network and talking about ways that we can continue to walk together in spiritual formation. So there are more details about that time and place in your bulletin this morning. Today is one of my favorite services of worship. I think I say that a lot, but today it's really true. This is the reaffirmation of baptism. This is the day when we hear the story of Jesus' baptism and we're reminded what is true about our own baptisms. So let us open our hearts and our minds to receive the good news that each and every one of us is a beloved child of God.
Oh, join me in our call to worship, which is found in your bulletin. God of limitless love, we have come to know and believe the love you have for us. We gather to be reminded of our belonging found within your story of grace. Let us worship with gladness, trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting. Let us make our confessions before God with the confidence of God's beloved children. God of mercy, we recognize that we have failed to be the church at times. Forgive us for the ways we have forgotten to live according to the example of Christ. Lead us to live lives that are fully focused on love and forgiveness. Grant us the wisdom to live into our baptismal vows. May our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness be used for your glory. O God of mercy, lead us on our journey. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions and silence. Hear this wonderful news. Christ Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward you. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us offer to one another signs of Christ's peace. Peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Gospel, Mark 1, 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a torn voice came from the heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite any children who are here in the sanctuary to make your way up and join me up here if you'd like to. And if you're worshiping at home, just get a little closer to your screens, because this is a special time for you and me. Come on up. Are you ready for snow?
Yes.
Yes, me too. one of the boys at 8:45 said he saw snow clouds in the sky on the way to church. So fingers crossed. Everybody get our mittens out and our hats and gloves.
And there's a warning about 3 to 4 inches of snow.
I know, 3 to 4 inches, yay. We can make a snowman. Well, today I want to teach you a very special word. It may be a word you already know, but the word is beloved. And what that word means is I'm loved. To say I am beloved means I am loved. To say that you are beloved means you are loved. We just heard Tyner read the story about Jesus' baptism, and when he was baptized, God said, "You are my beloved." And you know what? God says that to each and every one of us too. God loves you so, so much. You are beloved. Now, there are times sometimes when we feel bad about ourselves or we think we're not good enough, like maybe we've done something wrong and we get in trouble, or maybe we're sitting next to a friend who's drawing a really good picture and we think, oh, I'm not as good of a drawer as that person, and we start feeling bad about ourselves. Well, if that happens to you, I want you to do something for me. I want you to take your right hand and put it on your heart and say, I am beloved. Can we say it together? I am beloved. Just anytime that happens, just say, I am beloved. And that's for the grown-ups too, because we have those voices in our heads that say, I'm not good enough, I'm not successful enough, I'm not thin enough, I'm not whatever. If your voices say that to you, put your hand over your heart and say, I am beloved. And you know what else is true? Everybody else is beloved also. God loves every person. And so if there's someone in your classroom who's being annoying, or someone's been mean to you, or your older brother's driving you crazy, then take your left hand and say, you are beloved too. Okay? You can even just say it to yourself if you want to, but you are beloved too. So I am beloved, and you are beloved too. And because of God's love, we are connected. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we are all part of one big family because of your love. You love each and every one of us so much, and you love everyone in the world. So help us to feel connected. Help us to feel your love and to show your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. 3, 4, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Stacy and Pastor Maggie. And the rest of us, if you want to return to your seats with parents, you can do that. Over the past few weeks together, we've been hearing stories about Jesus as a child, Jesus' birth stories. All through the season of Advent, we were preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And then on December 24th, we heard Mary's song that she sang as she was about to give birth to Jesus. Christmas Eve, we heard about the shepherds going to visit Jesus in the manger. And then last Sunday, we were with the Magi as they went to Bethlehem to worship Jesus as a child. And those stories come to us from the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. But this morning, we're opening up Mark's Gospel. Now, Mark is our gospel for 2024. Most of the time when we hear from the gospel this year, it will be from Mark, with some exceptions, including next Sunday. But for most of the time, it'll be Mark's gospel. But Mark doesn't tell us anything about Jesus' birth, about his childhood. When the curtains open on the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is an adult standing in line with a bunch of other people waiting to be baptized by John the Baptist. It's an interesting picture to start off the story of Jesus with. We wonder sometimes why Jesus had to be baptized. Why did he choose to be baptized? John was, after all, offering a baptism of repentance, a baptism of forgiveness of sin. And in our understanding of Jesus as the Son of God, he was without sin. So why would he need or choose to be baptized? Well, there are thousands of sermons and dissertations written around that very question. So there are lots of different ways to talk about it and understand it. But one of the things that I see in this choice that Jesus makes to be baptized is that he's choosing to throw in his lot with all of us, to show us through this act that he is one of us, to become like us. It would have been different, you know, if Jesus had gone to the side of the Jordan and said, "Excuse me, people, excuse me, I'm the Messiah. John, you can go on your way. I'm here now." Or if he even had said, "You know, I need to get in the front of the line because I got a mission to do. I'm the Son of God, you see." But he doesn't do that. In all humility and all grace, he lives into the words of the Apostle Paul from the letter to the Philippians. He empties himself. Even though he is the Son of God, he sets aside his privilege. He empties himself to become one with everyone else. He participates in the collective repentance of his people. But when he goes down into the waters of baptism and is baptized by John, and as he comes up, there's something pretty special that happens to him. As the waters are still dripping down his hair and down his back, the heavens are torn apart. And then the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove, Mark says. And then a voice whispers in his ear. Now, different gospels portray it different ways. In some cases, it's a voice that everyone else hears, or a voice that John the Baptist hears. But the way Mark tells the story, it's just for Jesus. And the voice says, "You are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. I see you. I love you. I take delight in you." Now, we might notice that at this point in Mark's gospel, Jesus has not said a word. He hasn't preached his first sermon. He hasn't healed his first sick person. He hasn't cast out a demon. He hasn't confronted anybody. No actions taken. He just is. And God is already pleased and delighted with who Jesus is. So on this Sunday, we hear the story of Jesus' baptism. And we see in the story of his baptism what is true about our own baptism. At the moment of your baptism, if you are baptized, and even if you aren't, I'll get to that in a second, but the voice of God spoke and said, you are mine, my beloved child, and I am so delighted with you. See, the sacrament of baptism is an outward sign of something that is already true. We as a church gather around when someone is baptized to announce that they are already loved by God. So even if you're not baptized yet, you are already loved like that by God. That's why in the United Methodist Church, we practice infant baptism, because a baby hasn't yet done anything. They may not be able to speak yet. They may not be walking yet. They certainly can't understand what baptism is all about. And yet we are saying as a church, we believe that you already are a beloved child of God. And it will never depend on what you do or what you don't do. It is not something you can earn and not something that will ever, ever go away. You are once and for all, always, God's beloved child. Can you believe that? It's hard. It is hard to receive that and accept it and believe it. In fact, I believe that at the root of so much human suffering and pain and violence and discrimination and injustice is the human inability to accept God's love unconditionally. I think the most aggressive, angry, arrogant bully is at the heart someone who is broken and insecure and doesn't know that love is for them. And so part of our work as a community of faith is to continue to remind one another, to be reminded that you and I are beloved children of God. And also, so is everyone else. You are special and unique, and God finds delight in you, and that is true for everyone on this earth. We proclaim it as a church. God loves everyone unconditionally. We see it in the scriptures. God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son. God loves each and every person. We are all created in the image of God. And yet how easy it is to forget that. If we just lifted the very thin veil that is over all of us, we will see how deeply connected we all are. We're all in this together. Just as Jesus stood at the side of the Jordan with all of those different kinds of people, he showed us that we're all connected. We are all in it together. We are all held by the one big love. And so, that man sitting in solitary confinement at Riverbend Prison because he started a fight yesterday is my brother. And the woman who's just now waking up after taking too many drugs and she's lying on the floor across the city is my sister. And the little child who goes to school on Tuesday morning with an empty stomach and an angry spirit is my child. And is our child. And that person sitting up in the corner office working 80 hours a week because he thinks that money's the only thing that gives him his worth, and maybe if he's successful, his father will finally be proud of him, is my brother and your brother. And we are all in this together, my friends. But why do I forget that? Why do we forget that? When we forget that, we start excluding other people so that we feel more included. We feel like there's not enough love of God to go around. We start treating one another with disdain, dismissing one another. We start getting this feeling like, you know, I would be better off, the world would be better off if those people would just go away. Why do we forget that we are all connected in God's love and all created in the image of God? I think the world wants us to forget. I think there are a lot of forces out there that want us to think that we're not, that we don't all belong to each other. That's why one of our baptismal vows is to renounce the spiritual forces of evil and wickedness that would try to tell us we are separate from one another. That's why we vow to embrace the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Because wherever there is injustice and oppression, we have forgotten what is true. So, my friends, in just a few moments, we are going to reaffirm those baptismal vows. We're going to remember that unique voice that speaks to each and every one of us. And as you touch the waters of baptism and take a bead for yourself, as the water runs down your hand, I want you to feel the hand of God holding you and saying to you, you are my beloved child, and I'm so pleased with you. As the water runs down your hand, I want you to feel that deep, abiding connectedness with all human beings and all creation. And to know that you're not alone and that we belong to one another. And I want us to, as a people, come back again and again to this truth so that how we live and act in the world is shaped by these truths and no other. My friends, the waters of baptism are inviting us to be reminded. So I invite you to come and reclaim the power of the truth that God loves everyone unconditionally. Amen. We have the opportunity now to say a thanksgiving over the water, to reaffirm the vows that were made at our baptism. If you have been baptized, this is an opportunity for you to reaffirm those vows, to touch the water again and be reminded. If you have not yet been baptized, I hope you'll reach out to one of us, your pastors, and begin a conversation about that, if that's something you feel called to do. But even so, you are invited to come forward and touch the waters, because the truth is still true for you. You are already God's beloved child, named and claimed and accepted. So as we prepare to come forward to touch once again the waters of baptism, I would invite you to stand as you're able and join me in answering these ancient questions of the faith, the baptismal vows. My family, in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church.
We are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation and given new birth through the water and the Spirit.
All of this is God's gift, offered to us without price.
Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And so, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you now these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? So say, I do.
I do. You may be seated. This is the water on which God breathed and the Spirit brooded when God began creating the stars, the planets, the earth, and all its creatures.
This is the water that drove up the trunk of the tree whose branches bore the fruit we weren't to taste.
This water covered the earth and bore up the ark in the days of Noah.
This is the water that opened at Moses' command when God led God's people out of slavery. This is the water by which Miriam and the women danced the rhythms of liberation.
These are the salty tears King David shed when Nathan accused him of the worst sin. These are the tears he shed when he pleaded God for forgiveness and got it.
These are the waters of Babylon by which our ancestors sat down and wept. There are harps and tongues silent for homesickness.
Out of this water, John pulled a stunned Jesus out of the River Jordan. The day they saw the dove and heard from deep within the voice that said, "You are my beloved. In you, my heart sings for joy."
This is the water dripping from the nets of Peter, Andrew, James, and John when a stranger walked up and said to them, "Follow me."
This is the water that became wine at a wedding feast in Cana.
Peter sauntered on this water and then sank, and then was rescued, setting the pattern of a disciple's life.
This is the spittle that came from his mouth when he restored hearing to those who could not hear, when he restored sight to those who could not see.
These are the tears that fell that last night in the garden.
This is the sink that Pilate used to wash his hands when he passed the death sentence.
These are the wet faces of women whose grief at the cross could not be quenched.
This is the dew on the grass of a garden where Mary Magdalene stood early on Easter morning as she ran to embrace her risen Lord.
This is the water that for generations has told us who we are, and which today tells you who you are and whose you are, which tells us together to whom we belong. We invite you to come as you feel led and receive a glass bead from a bowl of water that will be a reminder to you of the waters of baptism and of God's claiming of your life. We will have three stations, one in the center and one at each corner of the altar rail. You can come down the center or down the side aisles. And after receiving the bead, you're welcome to kneel at the altar rails and pray. This may be a Sunday when you want to reclaim your belovedness in God's presence and in the presence of God's family. It may be a day when you want to let go of resentment of someone else and recognize their creation in the image of God. It may be a day when God has something to say to you about how you are being called. So we invite you to come forward to receive the blessing and the grace in the waters of baptism.
come to our time of prayer, I want to invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers this morning. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to be prayed for throughout the week, I invite you to fill out one of the gray cards in the pew racks in front of you, or you can go online and click on the Contact Us portion of our website and let us know how we can pray for you. I want to encourage you to take note of the prayer concerns that are in your bulletin, and ask you to keep those in your thoughts and prayers throughout the week, asking God to bless those who are named in those situations. Today we want to lift up requests, we want to lift up prayers for the family and friends of Skip Malone as they mourn his passing this weekend. Plans for a service of remembrance will be announced as they are put together. We lift our sympathies to Jennifer Fox, Lucy Fox, and family as they mourn the death of Jennifer's father, William Fox, on January 4th. His funeral will take place January 21st in Hendersonville. And we want to lift up sympathies to the family and friends of Sandra, Kara Earthman, Tucker, and Will Earthman as they mourn the death of Bill Earthman on Sunday, January 7th. The memorial service will be held here in the sanctuary on Friday, January 19th at 1 p.m. with visitations starting just before that at 11 a.m. in Reed Hall. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. God, today we give thanks to you for your voice that speaks to us of our chosenness. In our scripture today, we heard your voice speak words of acceptance, of calling, of hope, of encouragement, and of love. With that statement to your Son, Jesus was empowered to live fully devoted to the work of restoration, of preaching the good news of God's present kingdom, and of living a sacrificial life for all of humanity. And it is with similar words that you call to us in our baptism. You choose us each day and speak words of love and affirmation into our lives, calling us to recognize the grace you offer and to live into that by offering it to the world around us. As we remember our baptisms or recognize our call to come to the water and be renewed, may we live as Jesus did. May our chosenness change us. May the cleansing we experience make us new people, ready to shine anew with the promise and warmth of a new day's sunrise. And as we give thanks today, we desire to offer all of ourselves to you, O God. We trust you today as we open our hearts to you by sharing in word, as well as in silence, the parts of our lives that keep us awake at night, causing us to question, as well as those things that help us to sleep soundly. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us today and every day, for always being attentive to us, for calling to us from the waters of baptism to release the grip we have on our lives and live trusting in your grace that never ends. And it's with that trust that we now pray as a unified people the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you worshiping online can give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will be passing plates down the aisles. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us.
my friends, God loves you so much. Beyond these walls, there is a world that is hurting and needs to know their belovedness. So we've made our promise. We go forth now to share that good news. Carry that love with you. Shine that light so the world might be changed. Amen.